And I am very excited for our next guest, who comes about once a month to have ideological conversations on things that we don't always see eye to eye on. But I think what I appreciate about our friendship is that I think we both genuinely want to solve problems and come at these things with not the power political struggle, but actually like, how do we make things better? CJ Safer, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Happy Friday. Happy Amazing. Friday. Look at it. It's gorgeous out.
You're in
it's summer. We're finally here. Well, the nice thing about working at home on Fridays is you get to wear shorts.
As I know. It's great. I just live in spandex now. So I should not be telling anyone about their fashion decisions, because I'm just peak comfort all the time.
We got like 2 months of this, right? I'm going to milk it. I'm going to milk every day, every hour for what it's worth.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I don't know if you caught it at all on your drive-in since you're here in person, but I spent the first segment of the show today talking about the Republicans' tax bill that came out yesterday. That is a huge, it's $3.5 billion. And it's a tax break for every single bracket, with the biggest being for the people who make the most. And my question was trying to just gauge people's behavior of like, how much money moves the needle? Because you and I have talked about this before, as far as like, by lowering taxes, how much of a difference does it make to people's incomes and their household budgets to really feel like it moves the needle for them? And so as far as thinking about it that way, the amount of people, how much money per household this affects, like, how do you interpret what was introduced yesterday, or passed yesterday, I should say? We'll see if it makes it all the way to the end, but passed.
Well, look, I think first off, we start off with... let's start out with what impacts people. So first off, you start with like, we have a $7 billion surplus, as you've mentioned, and that means the state government spent more than it's taken in, and we need to kind of refund that back to the taxpayers. And to be honest, there is a bipartisan consensus in that. I mean, polling across the state shows that people think that income taxes are too high. Governor Evers did introduce a middle class tax cut earlier in the year in February. Our issues, it was also kind of coupled with tax increases on manufacturers. I also argue his middle class tax cut wasn't big enough. I said that at the time. I thought he could have gone bigger. So I think you kind of start out with that. Everyone kind of wants to figure out, how do we return this money back to the people, back to small businesses, back to middle class families? And then kind of, how do we move the needle, not just for families, but also for the state, for the economy. So what the Republicans did, they put out a plan, collapsed four brackets into three. We'll try not to boggle down listeners with too many numbers. Every single rate has a cut. Every single person is getting some sort of cut. That was not the case in Governor Evers's proposal. And there's a cut in the top rate. We can talk about that before everyone freaks out on Twitter. I was ratioed badly, and a lot of people were coming. I'm always ratioed whenever I talk about taxes, because the great bastion of civil discourse of Twitter.
It's only gotten better. It's only gotten better.
but there's been a cut in the top rate from 7.6. to about 6.5%. I think that's incredibly significant. And the average taxpayer saves about $570. And it's going to vary. There's going to be more analysis that's going to come out next week. There's going to be economists with the University of Wisconsin. There's going to be the nonpartisan folks at the Fiscal Bureau. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, we have those numbers, you know, less than 24 hours.
What does this mean for each person?
Yeah. But it does mean it's some sort of cut. And for a lot of people, especially for those making between $13,000 to $300,000 a year, they're getting about a 17% cut. And I think depending on how much you make, right, it's going to be some money. And the more money you make, how percentages work, the more money you make, you'll get potentially a bigger cut in absolute dollars. And that shouldn't shock anybody. I think the top rate cut is a big deal for the state of Wisconsin. There's been economists that have done this, and you can't really think this is something that is hard, I think, for some on the left, some Democratic lawmakers, Senator Evan Goyke. You have to appreciate that in order to really drive the economy, you have to go after that top rate, because we have a very high top rate. We have the 11th highest in the country.
I want you to finish, but I was going to have a follow-up question. Like, who are those people? So we're talking about $280,000 a year. Are we talking about employers, employees? Because I look at that as an individual amount of money. That's a large number. And so it's like, is the argument here, we're attracting people who are in that tax rate to come be employed here or to start businesses here or not leave? Or like, who is that group of people, and what is the argument as far as that is the people that we want, when that feels antithetical to when we talk about labor shortage? And that's like service industry workers. That is not people who are making $280,000 a year. So like, can you square that for me?
So how we would argue it is that top area, right? So you're tackling, there's a wide group of people. Yes, there's millionaires and billionaires in there. Absolutely, right?
Not a lot. Is this number correct, that there's only there's 66 people in Wisconsin who make over $30 million? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm not one of them.
I'm also not one of them.
I wouldn't know. But look, it is small businesses. And this is something that I think everyone in Wisconsin has to appreciate. 9 of every 10 small businesses in the state pay that top rate.
Is that true, though? Because I saw a different number that said at least for the professional and business income, that it was of the people who filed worth over $200,000, it was 7%. Are these two different numbers?
I'm not aware of that. We were pulling that. We've been pulling that. And that's kind of a commonly echoed talking point primarily using through IRS data. But I think it's also kind of where they are categorized and where they're kind of like filing. But keep in mind, like, you know, we're not talking about corporations, right? But in any event, wherever you are, you have small businesses that are not paying they're not corporations. Mm-hmm. They're filing under, you know, primarily just paying under the individual income tax scheme, where they all get kind of sucked into it. That's small businesses, that's barbershops, that's startups, that's restaurants, maybe radio stations. I don't know.
Maybe not yet.
and you would want them to, you know, whenever we give back money, that's, you know, potentially more money that, you know, a barbershop or a coffee shop could pay for more employees or higher wages. We're talking about a lot of job creators too. And we're also talking about something that I think a lot of us have been kind of really trying to emphasize, which is, you know, we want people, we think that people move around the country because of that top rate, because of tax rates. And we want to keep them in the state of Wisconsin. We don't want them to leave. And this is something that I think, I'm not going to sit here and say that 7.6 to 6.5 is going to be an ultimate game changer. We think that that number's got to get ultimately to zero or pretty darn close to it. But it does make us more competitive to other states across the country.
So basically the argument is, this is a target to keep and retain people who make over $200,000.
I think it is not the silver bullet solution, but it is a main part of this solution.
And the argument for that is because they are job creators and just high income. Because I mean,
yeah, they're
if you they're cut invest- their taxes, it's not like their income is creating more revenue if we're cutting it, right? So like, what is the genuine argument?
Unless
they leave. But like, is the argument of like, that is the high ticket citizen for Wisconsin, is it simply because of that, like the small business aspect of it? Or like, what is the premium on making it more appealing to that demographic specifically to live here?
It's a small business aspect. It's the aspect of it's people who are investing in communities, investing into nonprofits, people that are investing into civil society organizations. I mean, there's just a huge ripple effect. You know, just think of your small town, right? You don't want some of those main people who are investing into those communities to leave. And you look all across Wisconsin, I mean, there are some real philanthropists, there are some real businesses that have such a strong component to that. But it's also, you know, you're also talking about employees. I mean, you want to keep people in Wisconsin, and lower tax rates are going to get us closer to that than not. And that's why I think the Republicans went pretty aggressive on that top rate, but not so aggressive where it's something that I think the governor is going to have to give this a serious consideration to sign it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, look, these are not all Republicans getting these tax breaks. Like,
oh, no.
I mean, just look at the governor's look at the Milwaukee suburbs, college educated, his voting block in Wauwatosa, in Brookfield, in Elm Grove, in Mequon, all these voters that are kind of gravitating who voted for him. These are the people that are getting strong tax breaks under what we're walking through. I think he's going to have to give it hard consideration, because watering it down dramatically, I think it is, it's also going to be shown that it has a dramatic less of an economic impact on the state. And ultimately, he can't rewrite, unless if he wants to kind of push this all the way into the fall.
Yeah,
he can't rewrite the plan. This is what the legislature is sending it to him. So he can water it down by a partial veto, or he can sign it, or he can veto it. But again, that's going to push it into the fall, which I just don't think either side wants.
All right. Well, CJ Safer, so happy you're here. We're getting another segment with you after we take a break. If you have any calls or questions, feel free to text or call that in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Good song choice, Calvin.
The numbers do add up.
Follow the money. Welcome back. We are, our guest for this half hour is CJ Safer, CEO of the Institute for Reforming Government. And we spent the last segment talking about the Republicans' bill that they passed yesterday when it comes to tax cuts. But I feel like there's so much, since we haven't talked in a month or so, a lot is happening. I feel like all of my journalist friends who work at the Capitol are very tired because there's been a lot to keep up with. But as far as, in addition to, on top of, separate from, whatever you want to frame it, from the tax stuff, you know, the last time you were here, we talked about the major survey IRG did as far as going all over the state, talking to all sorts of people, and kind of, and coming out with this report on, like, what do Wisconsinites want? And so as far as the debates that have been happening, things that have or have not made it into the Joint Finance Committee's discussion of what they want to fund, what they don't, how does that square with what you guys found in that survey as far as what people really want and care about and what we're choosing to prioritize by funding it?
Well, that's a fascinating question, right? And it's also an appreciation that about $90 billion of taxpayer money is going to be spent, I think, over the next 2 years. And this is going to be signed off. And, you know, I think the budget will be signed by 4th of July because everyone's got the same incentive. They want a summer vacation. That's a bipartisan agreement. No one wants to work in the summer.
Everyone wants to wear shorts again.
Everyone wants to wear shorts and be home over the summer, which I think that's going to motivate people to get a governor and the legislature to get an agreement done. But it's also an appreciation that, like, there are just some problems that aren't going to be fixed overnight. Even if there was agreement on how to solve them, we have some major issues that we discussed about a month ago. We've been on the road talking to different communities. Look, for example, one of the big ones is childcare. And huge. There's a lack of access to childcare in certain parts, affordability. We heard this with community leaders. We also did a poll by State Policy Network that showed that about 75% of voters said cost of childcare is a major issue for them. So Evers has done a bunch of childcare things in his budget. The legislature kind of responded. We can, you know, there's all these numbers, but at the end of the day, more money, you know, will be going to the state's childcare subsidy program.
The loan, the $15 million.
Yeah, but that's
loan.
Primarily low income families. And not saying that that's good or bad or indifferent at the moment, but like, that's actually not tackling the 75% of Wisconsinites that think that childcare is a issue. That is tackling people almost irrespective of income levels. And
I mean, you're small. I'm assuming yeah, one, your youngest is still in daycare.
It's expensive.
You know what it is. Yeah.
And we've been very fortunate. We got in with a child with a provider really early. But you know, a lot of people, everyone knows someone who has a child care problem.
To read the comment section, and that's all anecdotal. It's not actual, but it's like reading the comment section of the videos I've made on childcare and people's real stories of having to quit or having to work different shifts and never seeing their partner or like all of the different, like, it's heartbreaking, right? Of how much this is. And like, what kind of draconian like place do we live in where the only response is, well, if you can't afford it, don't have kids. And it's like, we want people to want to have the size of family that they want to have. Right. And that they're not making these choices of, I'm going to have one, you know, we're going to have fewer kids because this is too expensive. This is not sustainable. And so like for you guys, like, how do we tackle this from your guys' point of view? Your guys being IRJ.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I have all the answers. I mean, truly, is I think some of these things are very complicated. You know, there is some, I would think red tape, especially with that. There's all these ratios that require the number of, childcare instructors or childcare teachers per number of kids. I think those things are a little intense. They were relaxed, I believe, during COVID. I think they can still be relaxed. I also think there has to be some sort of serious conversation about some sort of subsidies or tax breaks. But I think this goes across, you know, this might have to be targeted for a wide range of people outside of low-income people. Again, to take nothing away from what they need. But again, this is not just the low-income problem. I don't even know if it's really a middle-class problem. I think this is a problem that is everywhere, much like worker shortage. And look, this is something where we talk to manufacturers, we talk to small business owners, we talk to, you know, in Milwaukee, in Waupun, in Fond du Lac, in La Crosse. I mean, every business almost seems like has a worker shortage problem. That's not something that, look, past the talking points, this is really not even a critique on anybody. Like, that's just not really going to be solved easily overnight.
Is that something we can even solve as a statewide thing, as far, because it's something that every state is dealing with to a certain extent?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be very hard. I mean, I think there's a number of issues that you have a lot of people who left the workforce and they're not coming back. I truly believe that we need to like overhaul the tax system. You know, this is where I start to think about like, well, what would happen if we got rid of the income tax and we had like an abundance of people that would come into the state, or you know, businesses would be able to pay a tremendous amount of more money. Like, how do we incentivize people to get out of off the sidelines and into the workforce? And that also implies for teaching too. Look, big news last week with all the funding, $1 billion to public schools, $280 million to private schools and charter schools. But look, we still have a teacher shortage. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a problem that really impacts schools in every sector all across the state. And I'm not 100% sure if that funding agreement is going to solve that problem.
Yeah. Well, you just said a lot and there's so much I want to respond to, but we only have 30 seconds left and I have to let you go. But you're going to be back next month.
Next month.
Next month, we'll have more to talk about. CJ Safer is the CEO of the Institute for Reforming Government. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'll see you next month. All right. We'll be back with Matt Miller for our monthly pop culture update when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.